The information and opinions expressed on this program are intended to address specific questions asked, situations described in the program or on the website, and topics of expressed interest. The information and or opinions are not designed to constitute advice, mental health diagnosis, and or specific life situations. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in these broadcasts or on the website without seeking the advice of a licensed mental health professional who has conducted a formal assessment or evaluation on you and has the requisite information needed to provide a more well-informed opinion. This includes, but is not limited to, licensed clinical social workers, licensed marriage and family therapists, licensed professional counselors, licensed mental health counselors, doctors of psychology, and psychiatrists. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed on the website or during this broadcast, please contact your licensed mental health professional.
Hello and welcome to Meditative Messages and Compelling Conversations. On this show, we will tackle topics, both controversial and obscure, that impact our daily lives, as well as our emotional health and wellness. We will explore how information from articles, commentaries, interviews, art, and media can influence your thoughts, behaviors, actions, and health. Meditative Messages and Compelling Conversations promises to spark discussions, evoke thoughts of introspection, and challenge your perceptions. But as always, the ultimate goal is to provide education, insight, and a pathway to resolution. And now here's your host, Dr. Donna Sewell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Meditative Messages and Compelling Conversations, where open, honest, and intelligent conversations are the beginning of the solution. Today, we have a special call-in guest, Mr. Jamie Winborn. He will be talking to us about his 10-year professional football career. We will be right back after these messages.
To be invisible will be my claim to fame. A girl with no name, that way I won't have to feel the pain. Indispensable, just a plain old human being. Today don't mean a thing in a world that's so mean. A world that seems not for me. So privately, I'll be invisible. That way I won't have to explain a thing, if you know what I mean. I won't even have to be here on the scene. It's so ridiculous, but the strife and the bliss will go right on through me to have missed all the things that hurt your soul.
All right. Welcome back to Meditative Messages and Compelling Conversations with Dr. Sewell and our special guest, Mr. Jamie Winborn. How are you, Mr. Winborn?
I'm doing good. How you guys?
Doing great. I know Mr. Smith is probably going to have some questions for you on this particular show. But before we get started with you, Mr. Smith, this is your music trivia.
Okay.
What movie did that song come from? Don't look at, nope.
I ain't even going
to. Don't look
I was finna type. I was finna type on my computer. No. You know it. I do not know.
It came from Claudine.
Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh.
He's only 25. I have to give him music trivia every now. So, Mr. Winborn, the reason I want, because I love the way that you're willing to share your information to help other people and share about your life. And the reason I wanted you on to talk about your professional football career is because we have a lot of individuals who are like this. They're still saying this is my only way out is to be, you know, this type of athlete. So some people have a wish and a dream. Other people actually dedicate themselves to trying to get to that dream, not just saying it. So what I wanted you to talk about is not just your football career, but of course I'm going to ask you questions about, you know, when you decided you wanted to do that, what type of dedication did it take? And I want you to kind of take us through you know, not only the beginning, I want you to take us through the middle when you arrived, and then what is the preparation you need for when you get ready to leave as well. So can you tell us a little bit about your football career?
Oh, well, I've been playing football. My mom put me in it since 5 years old.
Okay.
You know, I played even the year of flag football before you could have pads on. But, you know, football, you know, for me, it was always just a way to get, you know, to exert some energy, and, you know, because I was an active kid. But, you know, for the main part, you know, focusing on education and my grades was the main thing the whole time. To be honest, I've always been excellent at football. First time I ever stepped on the field, I think I might have scored 6-7 touchdowns.
Okay.
And it just kind of went on ever since then. But, you know, moving along towards, you know, high school, I actually wanted to go to the Marines instead of football. And my head coach talked me out of it. And was like, no, your grades are good. And we got all these scouts coming to watch you play and what have you. You know, and as far as work ethic, My head coach, he said, you know, hey, trust me, I think you got a chance to, you know, play football in college and go to the next level. And I was like, well, okay, you know, I didn't pay it much attention, to be honest with you. But, you know, when I went on my college visits, you know, they would treat me so good. And I saw these other people, because I'm from Alabama, small country town.
You're from Wetumpka, right? Is it Wetumpka?
Yes, okay. Wetumpka, Alabama. And actually, I graduated in 97. And I'm still the first and only NFL player from my high school.
Okay. That's great. That is great. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So I went on. I chose to go to Vanderbilt, went to college, and I redshirted my first year. And when I was redshirted, everybody kept saying, man, this guy's going to go to the NFL. You know, and I didn't really know why they were saying that. You know, I just was doing what I'd done all my life, really play football. Because, you know, I was more interested in just getting my grades, you know. And I'll tell you why I was like that, is because on my high school team, I was probably the 7th, 8th best player on my team.
Oh, wow. You were the 7th or 8th best player, but they saw in you where it's a possibility you could go further than high school in terms of
what
football.
It was the grades.
Okay. And that's important for people to hear.
People to understand it. If you don't do the schoolwork, they'll never get to know how good you were, because there's just nothing that they can do with you.
Okay.
You know, they can't give you a scholarship there. If they can't get you accepted into, enrolled into the school, they can't see you. They can't sign you.
Right.
So a couple of the guys, you know, the grades just weren't there. Then a couple of guys get locked up, all kinds of other stuff. And then, you know, after all of that shakes out, there's me. You know what I mean? Who was very, very good. You know, probably one of the better defensive players, but, you know, in my opinion, there were several guys on my team that were better players than me.
Okay.
You know, that's just my personal opinion. But when I got to college, I could see that I was redshirted and just doing my work and working out, and everybody kept saying this guy's going to go to the next level and all that. And then I played my first year, redshirt freshman year. I led the SEC, was All-American, All-SEC, and it just pretty much went crazy from there.
Okay. So is that at that point, did you decide that you wanted to go pro? Did you say, yeah, I might be able to really go pro, this is something I could do? Or were you kind of coaxed into that as well? Like, hey, you know, people are looking at you. What was your thought?
Well, you know, after my first year playing, I was ranked number 5 in the country.
That's the first year at Vanderbilt, after you played at Vanderbilt?
My first year playing, I was ranked number 5, and here was all the draft predictions and stuff like that coming out. Then, you know, you hear talks of my name, and, you know, after 1 year playing, you know, there were agents calling and just checking with the coach, and, you know, RIP to my head coach, Woody Woodenhofer, who just passed away last week.
Oh, okay.
You know, he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Steel Curtain defense or what have you. But he called me to the office and told me, like, look, you know, and I told him, I said, Coach, these people calling my phone. I don't even know why they calling me like that. I only played 1 year. And he was like, well, you know, just sit down and talk to you. And he started telling me, you know, the potentials that I had. And I was like, wow. I just wasn't thinking of it. I was just a young kid trying to play football. football right then. And then going into that second year, I led the SEC again in tackles, and now I was ranked number one and up for the Buckus candidate and all of these different types of things. So obviously I knew then that I could go. They were saying I could be second, third round if I left school then, but I'd only played 2 years.
Okay.
So then I go into my third year, and I pretty much knew I was leaving at that point. I was going to leave early because I was almost close to graduating anyway. I just said I just have to come back because I don't feel like I can get any higher draft status. I'm an undersized guy anyway. I already know I don't think I'm going to. There's not much more at college I could do.
Okay.
I've led the SEC 2 years in a row and almost made it a third time, missing two games. So I end up entering the draft, and what do you know, I get drafted second round to the 49ers.
So now let me stop you there. How did you prepare? How were you mentally preparing? Because it sounds like you've always been kind of active, so I could see you kind of working out. But how were you mentally preparing to go into the pros? Or was there any mental preparation, or should there have been any mental preparation?
You mean for as far as going into the NFL?
Yeah, going into the NFL.
Yeah, not really. I mean, because, you know, college, I just knew that, you know, it's going to be another level. It's going to be harder than it is in college. And, you know, you take the schoolwork away from it, and now all of that schoolwork, you're doing it in a classroom in the pros. You know, they give you a big, big book and say, hey, I need you to learn this book. And I'm like, really, this looked like I could take me 2 years to learn.
Right. Okay.
But they like, no, you're fixing to play, and we need you to learn it. So, I mean, training camps and all that was just, it just hit me hard because I'm studying all night, I'm tired, get up, practice twice a day.
So I hear you saying practice. It's a lot of discipline too, though. Am I understanding you correctly on that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you're going to have the discipline. I mean, your athletic ability is one thing, and that's going to take you here and there. But you got all this free time. You know, you know now you drive your own car to practice. You know, nobody's checking on you at home and all of that. Ain't nobody checking on you or none of that no more. We done gave you some money now.
This is your job. It's your job.
It's a job. I think that's the most common thing that people – don't understand about it because about the playing in the NFL is that it's a job. You know, I used to go to work at 4:30, wake up at 4:30, and I'd be in the gym by 5:30 working out. I don't leave that facility until like sometimes 7 o'clock at night.
Okay. And that's what I mean by mental preparation, because I think some people have a lot of talent, not just not just with professional football, but a lot of things, even talent with singing, just whatever. And I think if they don't have the discipline or they don't understand that they're walking into a world where a lot of things will be given to them or they'll have a lot of temptations, I think that kind of messes a lot of people up.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. You will make it. You can make it there off of athletic ability and stuff. But, you know, and those, a lot of people, you know, you last a year or two, you know, 3 years, 4 years, something like that. But in order to last 10 years, you got to buy into being a pro athlete.
Okay.
Which means you got to study, you got to get the doctors off the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not at the facility. You're gonna have to invest in doctors, and your whole life is gonna have to be about making sure that you keep your body in the tip top shape and keep your mental in the right place and know your stuff, because I don't think people ever realize how much knowledge you have to have within that game. Because I was calling the defense. So my coordinator talks to me, and I relay the information to my guy.
Right.
So that, you know, that's a whole nother level. You know what I mean? And I gotta be on point. I gotta be sharp.
Right.
You know, I'm the general of the army.
Right. I got you.
I screw up, they screw up.
Okay.
You know.
Right.
We don't stand a chance. So I just had to pump that into myself, and I had good guys ahead of me that taught me. You know, Brian Young. You know, actually Dan Quinn here at the Falcons, they were guys back when I was at the 49ers. And, you know, matter of fact, the linebacker coach, he played beside me, you know, that's at the Falcons. So we, I had good guys with me that taught me how to be a professional. Like, look, you got to study this much film. You got to watch this. You got to learn this. You don't have to pay attention to that as much. You got to do this, that.
Okay.
But, I mean, it was a whole workload. Honestly, I tell anybody, all they show us on TV is Sundays, and they show the fun parts and all of that. They just recently, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, started showing the training camps that guys were going through. You know, showing that side of it. But on a typical, you know, Monday through Sunday, what leads up to it, including travel, you know, you got to be in there early to, you know, get treatment on your leg. If you claim that you have a sore ankle, well, you just don't go to work and that's it. You're going to be at practice an hour before anybody's, you know, you're going to be in the training room. And if you're not there, you're getting fined.
Okay. Okay.
You know, it's just a whole bunch to it just to stay on that field and get out there on that field. So, I mean, your dedication, if you don't have the dedication, you won't last long in that league, because they're trying to replace you every day, every day.
Because it's about, a lot of it is about, I'm going to be nice, I'll say a lot of it is about money, correct? Or am I wrong with saying that?
No, it's about money. I mean, okay. I've invested, I got 10 players. If I have 10 players, I've invested $1 million in this one, $250 million in this one, $3 million
in this. It's a business.
It's a business, and everybody's interchangeable.
Okay.
Nobody's safe. Nobody, and that's one job that, you know, nobody's ever safe.
Okay. I mean, and you're being honest, so I know it's some pros to it as well, and we'll talk about those when we get back. But I do appreciate you being honest about that, and that's not trying to take away from the game. But people need to realize this, you know, it is a business. So I appreciate you for being honest with that. We're listening to Mr. Jamie Winborn at M Squared C Squared with Dr. Donna Sewell. We will be right back after this commercial break.
When everyone else around can only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey,
he saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
can only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When folk walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
can only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? See, he is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
Help me sing it.
The girl said that he is mine.
He's mine.
I'm his.
I'm his.
Said it doesn't matter what
doesn't
I did.
Matter what
he only sees me for who I am.
He only sees
All right. Welcome back to Meditative Messages and Compelling Conversations with our special calling guest, Mr. Jamie Winborn. Still with us, sir? Are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm
here. All right. So we have about maybe 10 or 12 more minutes. So there, I'm going to run through kind of quickly. I know we're not going to be able to get to everything.
Okay.
The last thing I want to talk about as it relates to maybe some possible cons, and then we'll get into the pros and the positives. What are some of the trappings for a professional athlete? Like, you know, because I know a lot of times when you have status or people perceive you as having money, a lot of times things are easily accessible, I guess I want to say. So what are some of the trappings that you can think of?
Well, I mean, kids, one.
Okay. So would that be women are the trappings or kids the trapping?
Yeah, I mean, there's some horror stories about, you know, the type of prices that guys, child supports that people are having.
Okay.
And that, you know, I mean, like, take myself for example, you know, when I was going through with my ex-wife, I was put on temporary child support, $6,000 a month for two kids.
Oh, wow. Wow.
You know, so, I mean, and I got guys who are paying $10,000. One guy paying $11,000. I mean, you know,
per month.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Per month.
Okay. I mean, I know there are settlements like that, but I didn't. Okay, never mind.
No,
okay.
These aren't settlements.
I mean, not settlements. I mean, when I say, I know people agree upon that amount, and I've heard some people say like $50,000 per kid. Normally, I'm looking at baseball players and things like that, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, it's on the pay scale,
mm-hmm,
obviously,
mm-hmm.
But we you know, you got that. You know, you got other times. You know, you go to, you know, guys are partying, and there's just this jealousy and envy from, you know, regular guys that are out there,
mm-hmm,
who just don't like the way that, you know, people are giving us the attention when we come to a club or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got, you know, fights break out because of stuff like that. So, you know, those are other ways that you know, some of the things that commonly I'm speaking of things that I know that mm-hmm happen a lot.
Okay. Now, what were some of the benefits that you got playing professional football? Like, what were some of the benefits?
Well, I mean, you know, there's, you know, a lot of ways, you know, as far as money, you make money. I mean, you're able to go places and make money sometimes, you know, signing autographs, cards, stuff like that. I mean, you do have to get some privileges as far as, you know, people treat you a lot better sometimes. You know
mm-hmm
what I mean? You know,
mm-hmm,
you know, and that's really just because, you know, you potentially can spend some money. That's
okay
all it really is.
Okay.
But I mean, it's just awesome to have that memory of being around all these players. And I don't think people realize how significant it is to be a player. There isn't 100,000 people in the world who's ever stepped foot on a pro football field ever in life.
Okay. Okay.
You know, you're talking 100, less than 100,000 people. And, I mean, there's 5 million people in Atlanta.
Right. Right.
So that's how rare it is to get there. And just to add on locker room memories and all that good stuff with them, you know, that's just something awesome, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a kid at my house just last night. You know, one of my girls' friend, her brother's son or what have you, and he was like, oh, I didn't know that you played football and this and that. And I was like, well, who did you think them jerseys were? He didn't know. He done been over here several times, but he just always thought it was somebody else.
Wow. So
he didn't even know that was me. All those pictures, that's me. He didn't know that. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Wow.
You know,
so,
I gave him some gloves and all that stuff, so he was happy.
Okay. So with playing professional football, and you mentioned it can have a short lifespan, how soon should you begin preparing for retirement? I know you never know what may happen to you physically, but just overall and in general, when do you feel like a professional football player should start preparing for retirement?
Say that one more time.
When do you think a professional football player should begin preparing for retirement from football? And I know it depends upon injuries and all of those things, so I'm just speaking in general. When do you think a person should start looking at retiring? And how should they prepare for it? When should they start looking for it, and how should they prepare for it?
Yeah, because it comes all of a sudden. I'll be honest with you. I know, guys, you know, you lead a team in tackles, and the next year you don't have a job.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I know guys like that. Guys, you know, it happens all the time. But, you know, the only way to prepare is, you know, as soon as you get in, it's almost like you're preparing to get out. Because, you know, around that second, third year, you start seeing how it goes and how guys are in and out, stuff like that. But, you know, the only way I can say to prepare is just to try to keep your bills down to a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because once you get out, you know, there's nothing ever going to be able to prepare you for what you're getting ready to be, the experience.
And so that's my next question. So, and it's kind of like my final question, because I know I may take a couple, you know, about 2 or 3 minutes to describe this, but how difficult is it to transition into retirement? Because you're used to that, energy, you know, you're used to that adrenaline. Then you may be used to, depending on where you are in terms of status, you may be used to people recognizing you everywhere you go and getting special treatment. And then after a few years, that's gone. So how difficult is it to even transition into retirement?
You know, it's very difficult. You know, you always have to, you know, people find out that you played ball, or, you know, somebody recognizes you or something like that. You know, that the problem comes is that they recognize you as a player, and they feel like they always look at you like you're that player that's still making that kind of money. Mm-hmm. And it's just not that.
Okay.
You're dealing with the same things that other people have gone through. Like, I never had to go into a doctor's building and wait ever when I played.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when I'm done now, I'm sitting in the lobby with all of them.
With all of us commoners, and like, what is going on?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and I'm just sitting here. And it's just like when you're flying, and I was telling my buddy this other day, you know, how they say, well, you got to buckle your seatbelt and take all this, that. Well, we were flying on our own plane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're used to, you know, we eating chicken and having a good time, you know, all of that while the plane's flying. Like, we know that you don't really have to be buckled up and all that. We know that you don't have to really do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get on a regular commercial flight here, they're just so adamant about it. And it's like, what do you mean? I know, like, why are you telling me all that? You really don't have to do all of that. But we can't really grasp that because that's how we've been living.
Right. Right.
And then when somebody says, no, we can't just let you do this and this and that. And I'm just like, well, why can't you?
Right.
Because I know that you can. You just don't want to is what it is.
Right.
You know, and so you learn this, and then so you have to revert yourself and say, man, you know what? I'm not saying that I'm any better than anybody, but once you've seen something a certain way, now you have to live in this way, and people have these set of rules, and it's like, well, that's really messed up, because it's this whole different set of rules for a guy that was an NFL player than people that are normal.
It's almost like reentry. It's almost like when people who have been in military 20 years have to come back into living as a civilian. You know, it's like reentry, or you've been locked up for a while and you come back. You're like, oh, y'all got cell phones now. You know, that kind of stuff.
They were just imagine how a person thinks. This particular race was just killing everybody and shooting everybody over here, and they were just spending their lives. And they come back over here, and now they're in the store with the same race right here talking crazy to them.
Right, right.
And then they want to wonder why they flipped out.
Right. And so you're kind of saying, like, okay, what are you talking about? Yeah, I got you.
You
I got you. Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Like, wait, what do you mean?
Right.
And they can't understand that. And then here it is. They feel like you give these people loans, and these people are living just. And I'm over here just in fault for the country, and just can't do nothing.
Right, right. And so you're kind of feeling the same way, because you've dedicated yourself, because not only is it a business, but you know some people look at it as entertainment. I know it's not entertainment, but some people look at that, and so you've kind of dedicated your life to a certain degree to other people, and again you've gotten acclimated to living a certain way, and then you just have to switch up all of a sudden with kind of like no preparation or no
you
in between.
People wonder why people always ask me, do y'all have to pay to go for tickets to games? And I'm like, of course we do.
Mm-hmm.
We had to pay for tickets when we were playing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You just paid, you know, you get 2 free tickets, but you're taxed on them.
Right. Right.
So that's not free.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
As I've been out of the league and I look at the games, and I'm saying, you know, we really should be able to have at least a couple of free tickets to any NFL game that's going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we were part of this game. We're the reason this game is going.
Right.
But that's not what it is. They don't do that, though.
Okay. So,
you know, I mean, and that's the feeling that you get. You know, you just, you're out of the NFL now. You know, I'm a retiree and an alumni, and I'm grateful for it and stuff. But, you know, does that give me bukus of money or nothing like that? No, not really. I'm disabled. So I get a fairly good amount of money a month, which they're trying to take that down at all times anyway. But
right.
You right. know, it's just a whole different life out here. You know, when you're not playing.
So it's basically it's an adjustment. It's a huge adjustment.
Yeah, okay. You got to adjust to a lot of things, to your kids, to your wife, mm-hmm. to your spouse, mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. She's used to you being gone from 4:30 in the morning to 6-7 in the evening. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, I'm at home at 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, up walking around the house like, damn, this is what y'all do when I'm gone. How long y'all gonna sleep? Y'all ain't doing nothing. And now she looking at you like, I wish he'd take his butt back to work.
Right.
I'm done now.
Right.
You know, when I finish playing my ex wife was running around telling me, you need to get a job or something. And I'm like, I pay cash for everything that we see around here. Mm-hmm. Why would I be trying to go get a job?
Right.
You need to go and get a job.
Right.
You know, it just so many things come up, and then all of a sudden now everybody's, oh, the football, you're going through it now because you're not playing. You're going through, you're acting different now because you're not playing. No, I'm acting different because I'm at home and I can see what everybody's doing.
Right. Right. So basically you're adjust everybody is adjusting. So
everybody.
So it is a we're looking at it's a process, and that's one of the things that I thought that was probably the case, but that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about so we know kind of moving and transitioning into retirement is a process, and then once you are actually in that state of retirement, that's a whole nother process. It may take a year. 2 years to get acclimated to. So, Mr. Winborn, I appreciate you for joining us. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I may have to ask you to come back. But unfortunately, we're out of time. But I appreciate you for being on the show. Again, you guys have been listening to Mr. Jamie Winborn. He's been talking to us and giving us insight about his life as a professional football player. He had a 10-year career. You've been listening to Meditative Messages and Compelling Conversations with Dr. Donna Sewell and my illustrious engineer, Mr. Deshaun Smith. And as always, I hope you guys have a fantastic day and a happy and healthy week.
You've been listening to Meditative Messages and Compelling Conversations with Dr. Donna Sewell. All shows are posted on www.meenterprises.net. That's www.meenterprises.net. Until next time, we ask that you stay encouraged, strive for enlightenment, and enrich your mind, body, and spirit.